Why do we obsess over life's meaning? For most of human history, this question didn't exist. Ancient Hebrews would have found it peculiar. Yahweh provided meaning through divine law. Pre-modern societies drew purpose from ancestral practices and coherent social frameworks. The question emerges primarily during times of crisis, when established beliefs falter. It's no coincidence that existential philosophy flourished after the world wars, when humanity faced unprecedented bloodshed that simultaneously devalued life in practice while questioning it in theory. Our modern predicament stems from a profound shift. The symbolic dimensions that traditionally provided meaning, religion, culture, sexuality, have been increasingly marginalized in public life, retreating to the private sphere precisely when we needed them most. As capitalism created an economic system focused almost purely on power and profit, politics became management rather than shaping communal life, reason reduced to calculation, and morality relegated to personal affairs. We've created a world where meaning itself has become privatized, leaving us collectively adrift. As symbolic realms struggled to replace fading public values, they became increasingly inadequate. Sexuality transformed into an exotic obsession, more visible yet disconnected from genuine intimacy. Art became the last fragile dwelling place of human value, expected to provide transcendence in a materialistic world. Religion split into rigid fundamentalism or diluted spirituality that cherry-picked comfortable beliefs without deeper commitment. Spiritual entrepreneurs filled this void with quick fixes. Celebrities pursue meaning through exotic practices, from crystal healing to decontextualized Eastern traditions, mistaking novelty for profundity. This manufactured spirituality allows the wealthy to supplement materially rich but spiritually empty lives without sacrifice. Football emerged as a powerful substitute for noble causes, providing tribal loyalties, rituals, and belonging. Stadiums became modern cathedrals, with match days as secular Sabbaths. Our modern dilemma is paradoxical. We suffer from both too much meaning and too little. Numerous competing frameworks exist, yet none can decisively overcome its rivals, leaving us searching without finding. The question, "What is the meaning of life?" contains problematic terms. For religious believers, meaning is a who, their deity, rather than a what. Meaning itself can refer to intention, signification, or intentional signification. When people claim life is meaningless, they suggest it lacks significance, purpose, value, and direction, not that it's unintelligible. Macbeth's comparison of life to a tale told by an idiot signifying nothing contains contradictions. Even nonsensical tales require structure, and death might give life the shape that stories gain from endings. Is meaning something we create, like artists, or something life inherently possesses, like natural patterns? These aren't entirely separate domains. Words gain meaning through historical usage and cultural context while constraining expression. We cannot make words mean whatever we want, nor conceive something entirely outside our conceptual framework. Our understanding of meaning remains rooted in the metaphors we use to comprehend existence. Must meaning depend on divine authorship? Not necessarily. While some view life as God's utterance, others find meaningful patterns without supernatural sources. Marxists and liberal historians, though typically atheists, discern significant narratives in history through class struggles or democratic progress. The cosmos itself reveals beauty and symmetry that move scientists profoundly, from E equals mc squared to subatomic particles, suggesting meaning without requiring a divine author. The notion that meaning requires either God or nothing is a false dichotomy. Many religious believers don't imagine non-believers live in absurdity. For Kierkegaard, divine presence deepens life's mysteries rather than resolving them. Kant wrote of purposiveness without purpose, meaning emerging without conscious design. The human foot serves essential functions through evolution, not design. Even random patterns can accidentally signify something, like faces in clouds. Life exhibits design through emergent properties and self-organizing principles. Complexity theory shows how order can arise spontaneously from chaos, suggesting meaning can emerge organically from natural processes rather than being imposed from above. What if life's meaning shouldn't be discovered? While Enlightenment thinkers fought error with truth, 19th century thought introduced redemptive lies, productive illusions enabling us to thrive. Consciousness provides both poison, awareness of our contingency, and cure, life-giving mythologies. These protective fictions, religion, nationalism, progress, love, shield us from unbearable truths while propelling us forward. Schopenhauer presents the bleakest view, seeing reality as product of the will, a voracious force generating everything to perpetuate itself. This will creates consciousness as a mechanism of self-deception, making us believe our lives have meaning while using us as instruments for reproduction. We imagine ourselves free while serving an unconscious master. For Freud, the ego's illusion of coherent independence is beneficial, allowing us to function despite unconscious drives. For Lacan, the human subject can either mean or be, but not both. We attain meaning only by sacrificing being. Existing meaningfully requires accepting certain fictions. This paradox suggests meaning itself might be a necessary illusion, not something discovered but created through collective agreement. Perhaps wisdom lies in choosing which illusions to preserve. Meaning's absence can only be felt against meaning itself. When Tusenbach in Chekhov's Three Sisters calls falling snow meaningless, he ironically gives it significance. Even declaring life absurd implies some possibility of coherence, as absurdity exists only in contrast to meaning. Modernism experiences meaning's eclipse as anguish because it remembers when meaning seemed abundant. This nostalgia appears in symbolic absences throughout modernist literature. Chekhov's unattainable Moscow, Conrad's void at civilization's core, Wolfe's unreachable lighthouse, and Beckett's never-arriving Godot. Samuel Beckett bridges modernist and postmodernist sensibilities. His writing embodies provisionality, hovering on articulation's edge before retreating into darkness. In works like The Unnameable, meaning briefly flares before fading, creating cycles of failed communication that paradoxically express profound truth about human experience. In Beckett's post-Auschwitz world, everything remains ambiguous. Waiting for Godot represents both anticipation and a way of life, suggesting that deferring final meaning makes life bearable while keeping it in motion. Vladimir and Estragon's endless wait becomes existence itself, purposeless yet persistent. If life's meaning lies in humanity's common goal, that goal might be happiness. Aristotle saw happiness not merely as a mental state, but as a state of soul, a disposition attained through virtue as social practice. Love offers another candidate for life's meaning, not romantic feelings, but creating space for others to flourish while they do the same for you. This reconciles individual fulfillment with our social nature. In damaging others, we ultimately damage ourselves, as our fulfillment depends on others' freedom. A jazz ensemble provides an apt metaphor. Musicians express themselves while remaining sensitive to others, creating harmony through mutual inspiration. Their self-realization through losing oneself in the whole. The meaning of life thus approaches meaninglessness, a delight requiring no justification beyond itself. As Wittgenstein suggested, meaning isn't a philosophical question with a factual answer, but an ethical one, not separate from life, but what makes it worth living. A certain quality, depth, and intensity of existence itself. This returns meaning to everyday life, like Matthew's Gospel, where salvation comes from feeding the hungry and visiting the imprisoned.